Pastor Blair.
Amen.
It's good to be back tonight.
Got this in a good spot. Good.
Praise the Lord. First Chronicles, we're going to be chapter 4. Again, I'm thankful for this opportunity. Just give me a moment as I get set up with all my various and sundry things on that. But I'm thankful to be here. I hope you had a blessing this morning. I hope I was a blessing to you this morning. And what the Lord has given me. As a pastor, just there talking afterwards, it's hard to gauge sometimes when you're up here looking at people and whether you're connecting or whether you're making an impact or whether just they're just asleep with their eyes open and stuff like that. But it's hard because most of the time when we look out, we get, or this. That's great. But I pray that was a blessing this morning. It was a blessing to me to be able to preach. And I'm looking forward to the message tonight, as the Lord has finally solidified what I'm going to preach tonight. Praise the Lord, amen. On that, I'm not wondering. But we're going to be in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. One verse. We're just going to talk about one verse, one man. On that, could be a popular verse. When I start reading it, I'll probably like, oh, I've read this before. I've heard this before. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10, we read, "And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, that thine hand might be with me, that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I thank you for today. I just pray that you guide and direct tonight. I thank you for this morning, for blessing us. I thank you. I pray that we were able to glean something from your word. I pray again the same tonight. May we come before you, Lord, with anticipation of what you have for us, expecting you to speak to our hearts and our minds, and leaving here closer to you than when we first arrived, even closer than we were this morning, Lord. I pray that we bless you, and that we leave here wanting to be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen. There are parts of the Bible that when you get to it, And our attention is there. We're captivated by it. You know, if you're like me, you're reading about the battles, you know, Joshua in the battles or Moses holding up his hands. You're captivated. It's like a movie. You just don't want to stop. You know, wait till the boring part to get up and go use the restroom. Or I'm staying here. But then there's portions of the Bible that we just want to pass over. I'm just being honest with you. There's portions of the Bible that we find boring. This is one of those portions, one of those passages in the Bible in 1 Chronicles that if we're to be honest with ourselves, we want to pass over very quickly. It's just a list of names. That's all. It's going through the directory of the Old Testament. It's so-and-so begat so-and-so, so-and-so begat so-and-so, all the way through. Names that we can't even pronounce today. That we just kind of muddle our way through, hope for the best, and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm butchering their name. Please forgive me. Move on. But there's a point in this passage that we need to understand, and even when it comes to the genealogies, they are there with purpose. Everything in the Bible that God has written is written with purpose. It's there because God wanted it there, even the names. But in this passage, as we're going through these generations, the Holy Spirit says, wait a minute, we're going to pause for a moment. We're going to take one moment, one verse, just a little interruption, and focus on one name. Out of the entire genealogy, we have this happening. That alone should tell us something important is happening. That should grab our attention back. That should say, all right, I need to focus on this. Because when God stops the flow of genealogy to tell us a story about one man, he wants us to learn from it. He wants us to pause and go, huh. There's got to be something here for me. And just take your time around it. Our attention is drawn to a man called Jabez. More specifically, to his prayer that changed his life. That's what this whole verse is about. It's just his prayer. We don't know a whole lot about Jabez. There's nothing else mentioned about this man. The only thing that we read about is that he wasn't a king. He wasn't a prophet. We don't even know if he was a warrior. He was just your average guy in Israel. going about his average day, doing average things. That was Jabez. He's introduced as an ordinary man whose life stood out in the eyes of God. Because God starts off, it says, in verse 9, it says, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. Right at the beginning, God is saying, I don't want you to focus on the person. We're going to see his prayer in a moment. That's what God's telling us. We're going to see this prayer of Jabez, this ordinary guy. But I don't want you focusing on the guy. I want you to focus on his character. God instantly calls out character right away. There's no hesitation with God. He says, there is a man called Jabez who is what? More honorable than all of his brethren. That says something about Jabez. That says that what he did mattered to God. That says that he lived a life according to the laws of God. To the point where his brethren, his family, his community, wherever he was, they said, that's Jabez. That's a man to be respected. That's a man of honor. That is what God wants us to see. He said, hey, I'm stopping the genealogy for a moment because I want you to see a man of honor. Don't look at the man, look at his character. Now let's look at his prayer. And that's what we're going to look at today. God wants us to look at the prayer life because it was a brief prayer, but it was sincere. It was God-centered. It was faith-filled. It wasn't empty repetition. It was a heartfelt cry to the God of Israel. John Hyde served as a missionary in India for many years. But he became known for one thing above everything else, prayer. He would spend hours alone with God, interceding for souls. His burden for revival was so deep that his physical body bore the marks of constant prayer. History remembers him not for sermons preached, but for prayers prayed. Prayer shaped his life and ministry. He is quoted as saying, the Spirit leads me into prayer where flesh can no longer follow. That's the prayer Jabez is about to have. If prayer could transform an ordinary believer into a mighty instrument in God's hand, what could we learn through God about prayer today? What could we do through prayer with God on our side? Looking at prayer and at this prayer is not just about imitation. God's not saying, I just want you to imitate Jabez's prayer and I'll be good. He wants us to look at the heart of the prayer. Past the man, past what he's saying, to the heart that aligned his will with the will of God. And he was forever changed because of it. We see the first thing that Jabez prays. He says, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. The prayer begins with a very bold request, if you were to think about it. He turns to God and says, God, I want your blessing. I want you to bless me, but not just a little superficial blessing. I want you to bless me indeed. That means he wants the blessing that pours over. As it's been said to us before, and Meredith heard us from our previous pastor, Jabez wanted the blessing that overflowed the cup and filled the saucer. That's the type of blessing Jabez was asking for. I want you to bless me, but indeed. I want it to pour out. He was asking God to bless him truly and genuinely and fully in every area of his life. Have we asked God to do that in our lives? Have we gone before an almighty God, bent the knee, and said, God, bless me indeed. Don't just stop in the little blessings. Bless me indeed. Have it pour out of my life so it hits the saucer and I have to drink the blessings of God from the saucer before I can even get to the cup. He asked God to enlarge his coast, to expand the boundaries of his life and influence. Jabez longed to increase his outreach, to push out his borders. But one thing we have to understand in biblical times is Jabez is not going to God saying, God, I want more land. That's not what he's asking God here when he says, expand my boundaries. He's not saying, I want more acres of land to plant whatever crops I want, to have whatever cattle I want, to have this enormous estate. He's not saying that. In biblical times, when somebody said, I want to enlarge my borders, that means they wanted to expand their responsibility and their impact in the community and the area. That's what Jabez was saying. He's saying, Lord, bless me indeed and expand my responsibilities for you. Expand the influence I can have for you. Push out my borders. Push out my boundaries beyond my capabilities, but your capabilities. Some may live undisturbed, but not Jabez. Many people drift through life spiritually unchanged, never troubled by their lack of growth. Jabez was not satisfied with spiritual mediocrity. He desired more of God, and so should we. There are many Christians and churches today who have been saved far longer than I've been alive, but they're babies in Christ because they haven't turned to God and said, God, expand my borders. Grow me spiritually. Some are content in spiritual ruts, but Jabez wasn't. A rut is comfortable, it's familiar, but it's deadly. Jabez refused to settle into routine religion. He longed for progress and growth, not just preservation. In Seward, Alaska, there's ruts in the road because of the studs on tires. They put metal studs so they can grab in the winter, but it creates these grooves. And you have to be very careful driving because you can get stuck in those grooves, and you feel it when you get stuck. The car kind of fights you. And you either have to wait until those grooves are a little less to get out, or just jerk that wheel over and hope for the best. Jabez didn't want to get stuck in that rut because he knew the danger of it. We shouldn't want to be stuck in ruts, just doing things because that's how we've always done it. And we want to preserve things. We want to be comfortable. We ought to turn to the Lord. Asking for our borders to be expanded is asking God and saying to God, take me out of my comfort zone. Really, that's what it is. God, I want you to bless me and bless me indeed. And I want you to expand my borders and my boundaries, which means I want to be out of my comfort zone. I want you to take me into places that I may not be comfortable, but in your strength I can do it. And it's not about self-preservation. It's about getting out there and preserving souls from hell. Some are willing just to go through the motions, but Jabez wasn't. Religious activity without spiritual passion produces no lasting fruit. Jabez wanted his life to count for something eternal. And we need to ask ourselves that today. Is that what we want as a body of believers? Do we want to impact eternity? To have a kingdom culture? Or are we just happy with the status quo? Go through the motions. Clock in, clock out. Go to church, go home, that's it. Jabez wasn't that way. Jabez longed for the blessings God would give him. He didn't ask timidly. The Bible says to come boldly before the throne of God. Don't be timid about it. He believed God was willing to bless, and he desired all that God had prepared for him. Now, this wasn't greed. We look at Jabez's prayer and think, oh, that's kind of greedy. It wasn't greed. It was genuine faith before Almighty God that he knew could answer it. Jabez was asking God to trust him with more. He wanted his life to reach further than ever done before. As believers, we need to pray that prayer like Jabez at the beginning. Because I'm going to be honest with you. Time is running out. We are close to the end. And if you watch any of my messages from when I was at Bethel, they're all online, praise the Lord. You would hear me say multiple times, time is running out. If you look at what's going on in the world, if you are even a fraction of time on social media, you would know that Jesus is coming soon with what's going on in the world. We need to have a prayer like Jabez to say, God, expand my boundaries. Bless me indeed so I can go out there and be a service to you, so I can influence people for you, so I can expand the boundaries of your kingdom. Opportunities to reach souls are limited by the time that we have. The days are passing quickly, aren't they? And eternity is drawing closer with every moment, every breath. Vance Havner once stated, the situation is serious, and the saints aren't. That's a sobering statement. It reminds us that the needs of the world are great, but the urgency among God's people is lacking. If God is to push out borders as individuals and as a church, we must do our part. Jabez knew he had to do his part when he was asking this prayer. Enlarged borders demands vision. Vision allows us to see what God desires beyond present circumstances. When we say, God, bless us indeed, enlarge our borders, we're asking God, show us your vision, show us the picture past our circumstances. Because there's been a lot of circumstances in our lives for Meredith and I that if we just looked at our circumstances, we'd be like, we're done. We're not going to go any further. We're good. We're comfortable. We don't want to go down that road. Thank you very much. Tapping up. But to have God vision and say, God, expand our borders means we have to look past all that and say, God, show us what you have. Enlarged our borders demands faith. Faith believes God can do more than we have experienced so far. Do we have that faith? Do we have the faith that we believe God can do so much more than what he has done already? There are a lot of Christians that don't. They have a very small faith in God. Enlarging our borders demands work. Jabez knew by asking God to bless him indeed and to enlarge his borders, to enlarge his influence and responsibility, it would demand work. God blesses effort that is surrendered to him. When we put our hands to the plow that God has for us and we say, God, I'm going to push through and I'm going to work for you, God's going to bless that work so long as we're doing it for his glory and not ours. Jabez continues his prayer and he says that thine hand might be with me. It's a prayer for the power of God. Jabez understands that for his borders to be expanded, for God to bless him indeed, he would have to have God's hand upon him. Otherwise, he would just go into failure. He wanted divine power, not human strength. He did not rely on his own abilities. He sought the presence and the power of God. God's power comes through prayer. Jabez is understanding this in this moment. When he's saying, God, I need your power. I need you to be with me. May your hand be with me. Throughout Scripture, we see God's power is released through praying people, don't we? All through Scripture, we see how people have prayed. There's a phrase, I don't know if you've heard it, but it says, much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. The depth of our prayer often determines the depth of the power of God in our lives and how he'll work in our lives. You pray little, then you're saying to God, I just want a little bit of your power, God. The rest I can do it in my own power. When you pray just a little bit. When you pray a lot, when you have much prayer, you're saying, God, I want all your power in my life because I can't do squat without you. I need your power. I need your strength. So I'm going to pray a lot about this. I can tell you right now, Meredith and I have done a lot of praying over the past number of months, years, and whatever. She's been doing a lot of praying for almost 24 years since we've been married. But much prayer is saying to God, God, I need as much of your power as I can get. I want it all. No prayer, you have the audacity to turn to God and say, I don't want your power. I don't need it. With no prayer. Yet there are Christians out there that live that way. They don't go to God in prayer. They're like, I'm fine. I've got the Bible. I can read it when I want. I can go to church when I want. I'll pray if it suits my purpose. You're turning to an almighty God, as we heard this morning, who has the span of everything in his hands, saying, I don't want your power. I don't need your power. And God, in his being just and merciful, and even loving, will say, okay. Okay, let's see how that works out for you. But Jabez said, may your hand be upon me. Prayer makes increased outreach possible. God will then enlarge our outreach with his gospel. When prayer is central, God blesses the work. Sometimes we go to prayer as the last thing. But prayer should be the first line of defense. Should be the first thing that we go to is on our knees in prayer. John Hyde again was stated as saying, the cost of prayer is great, but the cost of prayerlessness is far greater. I want us to think for a moment. There's a lot of fervent prayers in the Bible that we read. We teach it to our kids in Sunday school lessons and Bible stories. But what if these people didn't pray? Would the outcome have been different? Prayer opened Sarah's barren womb and fulfilled a promise to Abraham, a nation was born. What if they didn't pray about that? Would God have fulfilled that promise? Prayer freed Peter from prison and death as the church prayed fervently. They were surprised by that. They're praying for his release. They're praying for his protection. They're praying fervently. And next thing you know, there's a, hey, can you let me in? It's kind of dark out here, and I don't want to get caught again by the Romans. And they're like, who's that? It's Peter. No, it's not. Have you ever prayed and kind of been surprised that you got the answer? But what if they just were up there in their room at church, so to speak, and I don't know what we're going to do about Peter. Maybe we can send him a gift basket. Yeah, a little file or something. I don't know what we're going to do. Now they prayed fervently and God said, I'm going to get him out of prison. Prayer brought a rain cloud from heaven the size of a man's fist after years of drought when Elijah prayed earnestly. What if Elijah after Mount Carmel said, you know, I'm tired. I'm going to go have a nap. You guys figure out the rest of it. Would God have sent that rain? Because remember, the famine started with Elijah's prayer. It ended with Elijah's prayer. Prayer delivered Jonah from the belly of the fish when he cried out to the Lord. What if Jonah got in that belly of the whale, the fish, the great fish? We say it was a whale, but we know it's probably this ginormous fish. What if he just got there like, well, this is me. Might as well make myself home. Start grabbing stuff and making directions like the Pinocchio movie where he's stuck in there and they're just, you know. Would that have been it? Prayer multiplied food when Jesus blessed 5 loaves and 2 fishes, feeding thousands. Prayer caused Paul and Silas' chains to break and open the prison doors, allowing them to walk free, but first leading the Philippian jailer to the Lord and his family. What if they didn't pray? What if they said, here we are again. We just got beat up, stoned, and whipped, and we're now shackled, and we're uncomfortable, and we're in the depths of the prison where all the waste is coming down to us. Yelp review is going to be brutal. This is it. Woe is us. Start complaining. But no, they prayed and they sang songs and hymns and spiritual songs. They worshiped God. And God said, you know what I'm going to do because you prayed? I'm going to rattle every single door in this jail, release every prison, because there's a jailer that I want you to talk to that wouldn't listen otherwise. Prayer turned Hezekiah's sickness into health and added 15 years to his life. Imagine that. Single prayer, he got 15 more years to serve the Lord. Prayer led to the healing of a man in the hospital who had suffered a major heart attack. When all the doctors and nurses said he would die, prayer and the power of God brought life back into him. And now he is 77 years old. And through his leadership, counsel, and prayers, I stand here today as a testament to my father's prayers. Prayer is powerful. Jabez understood that. He understood that prayer isn't just words, just to spell it off. It's the key to unlocking God's promises. When you pray in faith, mountains move, chains break, and miracles can happen. I don't think we really grasp sometimes the importance and power of prayer. We get into these ruts of prayer, the same thing over and over again. We pray the same thing over and over. I was talking before the service. It's amazing how the Lord lines things up. But they were saying, you know, Danny's telling me if I go too long, the pack here is set to shock me, to give me a warning. So if you see me go, then just go on out, leave me alone as I just foam at the mouth. But I was talking about how it reminded me of Dwight O. Moody at one of his revivals. The story goes that a man got up to pray. They asked him to pray, and he went on about... how Satan is spinning a web of sin and deceit, and he's spinning this web around people, and they're getting caught in the web of Satan, of sin and deceit. And he went on and on and on and droned on and on and on about the webs of sin and deceit and Satan being the spider. So eventually, Dwight L. Moody got so frustrated with this guy just going on and on and on in his prayer, getting to no end, that he just shouted out, "Lord, kill the spider. Move on." But sometimes you just, we were listening to a message and we could hear the guy praying, and sometimes, and I'm not trying to judge anyone, God knows the heart, but you have those thesaurus prayers. "Lord, give us power, preserve us, keep us, complete us." And they're like listing every word on that. But I think we make light of prayer sometimes. We just throw a prayer up real quick. And we just make it so light when God wants us to be serious about it. Even the little prayers. God wants us to pray about everything. Sometimes we don't pray about the little things. And God says, "That's just as important to me as the big things. Pray about the little things." Do you pray about what restaurant to eat at? Or you just go, "Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Which one's not going to make me sick today?" On that. Do you pray about that? "Lord, where do you want me to go eat?" I don't know if you know him, but Lee Strobel, Case for Christ. Lee Strobel was an investigative reporter in Chicago, I believe. That's during the 70s and whatnot, or before that. And they went to a restaurant to eat, him and his wife and his daughter. Him and his wife, atheists. They wanted nothing to do with God. And while they were there, daughter went to go to the gumball machine, got a gumball, and choked on it. They're freaking out. They don't know what to do. They're trying to help their daughter. They're seeing the life ebb out of their daughter. And this lady came up and said, "I'm a nurse," and boom, took care of it. Gumball is dislodged. Daughter's fine. And they're like, "Thank you so much. We appreciate that." Well, Lee Strobel's wife ended up going to thank her at the hospital, found out what hospital she worked at. And so we just want to thank you so much for doing that. We're so glad that you were there. The nurse is a Christian. And she goes, "Well, that was God's working." She says, "What do you mean?" "Well, we had decided we were going to go to a restaurant, but we felt the Lord was leading us elsewhere. So we kind of prayed about it and thought, no, let's go to this restaurant instead. Now we know why God led us there, because he needed me there to save your daughter." That caused Lee Strobel's wife to become a Christian and start going to church. Now, of course, Lee Strobel, the atheist that he is, started to mock her. And he had a co-worker as well who was a Christian, and he was mocking him too. Until finally, the co-worker and his wife said, "You're this great investigative reporter. Prove us wrong. Prove us wrong." The Case for Christ is the book that he wrote, that his whole purpose was to prove that Jesus Christ was not who the Bible said. That crucifixion didn't happen, it's just a whole myth fabrication. But through his study and his research, he came to know Christ and accept him. And he's become one of the greatest apologists of our time. All because a couple said, "Lord, where do you want us to eat?" A prayer that we would just kind of make, whatever. Jabez is here. He's saying, "Lord, I want you to bless me and bless me indeed. I want you to enlarge my borders, enlarge my coast. Lord, I want your hand to be upon me. I need your power. I'm going to pray about everything. I'm going to come to you about everything. Not just the big things, but everything, Lord. I need that." And things start happening in his life. And then Jabez comes to the end of his prayer. He says something that reveals his real spiritual maturity. And this is why his prayer is not a greedy thing. After asking for blessings, after asking for the enlargement of responsibility, after asking for God's hand to be upon his life, he prays that thou wouldest keep me from evil that may not grieve me. That request shows the true wisdom of Jabez and why he was more honorable than all his brethren. Because Jabez understood the danger of falling into sin. He knows that as God enlarges his life and his responsibility and his influence, he knows that as he gained more influence, the more pressure he would face. The more responsibility you carry, the more temptation you will encounter. Spiritual growth does not remove exposure. In many ways, it increases it. If we are going to turn to God and say, God, we want you to enlarge our borders, we also need to say, God, keep us from evil. Keep me accountable. Me especially as a pastor in this position. I never want to do anything that would bring dishonor to the Lord. And I'm going to be honest, my heart breaks right now with what pastors are doing. Men who we looked up to. Men who we said, they are such a godly example. They're such a man of God. Their preaching is so powerful. They lacked one thing, and it comes out in what they do. They lacked the prayer of saying to God, keep me from evil. We've got to start saying, God, keep me from evil. I want to serve you, God. I want you to enlarge my responsibilities. I want your hand to be upon me, and I want you to keep me from evil. If men of God did that, can you imagine what the kingdom would be like? But instead, they don't pray that prayer. And they get caught. And they have to step down from their ministry. And it impacts because people look at that and say, if that's the God that they serve, I don't want him. Or a Christian says, if that's really Christianity, I'm walking away from it. And that's on them. Each and every one that has done it. Jabez knows that he needs to have God in his life and he needs God to keep him from evil. He doesn't trust himself. Jabez is not trusting in himself. He does not assume he is beyond failure. He says, keep me. He doesn't turn to God and say, all right, I'm going to do my best. He says, God, keep me. Spiritual maturity is not believing you are above sin. It's knowing you're not. None of us are above sin. For me as the pastor to a member in the church, we're not above sin. Moral failure can undo years of spiritual progress. A testimony built over time can collapse in a single careless decision. We've seen that, like I said, in past weeks. You know, Paul named him. Kenny Baldwin. That hurt my heart because I've listened to him. The first year I took the teens down to Pensacola Christian College at Bethel for teen extreme camp, it was Kenny Baldwin preaching. And when that came out, I said, Lord, he didn't pray to keep him from evil. And now his influence has been shattered. Great ministries succumb to sin and have it all fall apart. Our gains can become losses if we do not stay pure. It's not enough to be blessed. We must also be kept. If we are willing to put ourselves into God's hands, then God must have pure vessels for his service. Jabez knew that. That's why he said, he didn't only say, God, keep me from evil. He said, keep me from evil that it may not grieve me. He understands that sin always brings grief. Sin promises pleasure but delivers pain. It offers satisfaction in the moment but produces regret afterward. Temptation never advertises the consequences. It's not like the commercials for medication where they give you everything that happens. Temptation doesn't go up there and say, if you partake in temptation, here's what's going to happen. You will, and go through the list of stuff. I think if that were the case, we'd be like, no thanks. And we would gladly walk away from that. But disobedience always carries sorrow. Sin should grieve the conscience. It steals peace. It damages fellowship with God. It just destroys. Jabez knows we cannot sin and have victory. Victory and disobedience cannot coexist. We cannot walk in God's blessings while embracing rebellion. There is no such thing as successful sin. Too many people think that I can be successful and still live this way. It's been said by many, you can sin and get by, but you cannot sin and get away. There is always a payday someday. It may be hidden for a season, but eventually it demands payment. It will be brought into the light. Jabez knows this. He goes, Lord, if I'm going to serve you, if I'm going to be blessed by you, if I'm going to have influence and responsibility greater than I could ever imagine, I need you to keep me from myself. That's really what he's praying. He's saying, Lord, keep me from me. Don't let me get in the way. Don't let me succumb to things. If you enlarge me, protect me, guard me from the very thing that could destroy what you are building, and that is me. Because that's ultimately where it comes down to. Jabez is saying, I don't want to be grieved and I don't want to grieve you. Jabez did not just pray for opportunity, he prayed for purity. That's why God stops here. In all the genealogy and all the begats that we just get bored about and we lose focus and we doze off, like, oh, where was I? And we muddle through the names. God says, stop, hold on. Let me get your attention here. I want you to see a man of honor, not because of who he is, not because of position or power or prestige or anything, but because of his heart. Because he prayed for blessing and purity. Because he didn't just ask for expansion, he asked for protection. Because he understood something that we should never forget. It is possible to gain territory and lose testimony. That is something I never want to have happen here. Should the Lord call me to be your pastor? I do not want Calvary Baptist Church in Hendersonville, North Carolina, to grow and gain territory while we lose the testimony God has for us. We're coming up to 126 years of service to God. It would be a shame to undo that because of us. So do we pray, God, keep us from us? Expand our territory, but help us keep the testimony. Is it it's possible to gain influence with man and lose intimacy with Christ. There are a lot of people that are vying for platform. They want to make a name of themselves. A great evangelist. To have the big crowds and all that stuff. But is it at the expense of intimacy with Christ? Sometimes I think it is. When you start getting performative and saying, I want this influence. Oh, look at all the people I'm influenced. Look how great I am. It draws you away from the things of God. These men who get, and this is why a lot of these men fall. Why a lot of these men get into sin. Because they get so involved with influence that they stop spending time with the one who can influence them. Christ. They lose the intimacy with Christ. They get up and preach a message that they preach 1,000 times. And it has nothing, it doesn't impact them anymore. It's just words. John Hyde knew when he said, the world looks for power in public, God looks for fire in private. That's what Jabez did. I don't think he prayed this prayer out in public. I think he was in private in his home. I don't think he told anybody about it. He just went about his day afterwards. Said, Lord, here's my prayer. I'm going to go do what you want me to do. He prayed, Lord, if you build it, guard it. If you bless it, protect it. If you enlarge it, keep me. Because the greatest blessing is not advancement, it's faithfulness. The greatest victory is finishing without grief. Doesn't matter how big of a church we become. We have the potential to impact Hendersonville in a great way for God. But it doesn't matter how big we get. What matters is faithfulness. That's what matters. Faithfulness. To be able to get before God and knowing that we finished the race without grief and hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Instead of hearing, well, you made it. I don't want to hear that. I don't want God to stand there and say, well, Tom, you made it. You're here. So come on in. Let me show you what I got. If you can find a praying man, he can shake a nation. Scripture tells us plainly that God answered the prayer of Jabez. His borders were enlarged. His life lived clean and pure. We don't hear anything that he did wrong. God never talks about him again. The blessing was real and lasting. Our Lord longs for us to do the same for us today. We can pray the same prayer as Jabez and expect the Lord to answer it.
God still delights in answering prayers of those who seek Him sincerely. So are we as a people willing to pray a prayer like Jabez? Are we willing to go before God individually? Parents, are you willing to go before God on behalf of your children? We learned this morning with Ruth about how a choice of faith affects generations. Are we willing to go before God in private with a fire and a zeal and say, God, bless me indeed. Enlarge my coasts. Have your hand upon me. Keep your power in my life and keep me from me. Guard me from me. Are we willing to do that? That challenge may seem difficult, but it's simple. Will we pray with faith and pursue purity and trust God to enlarge our borders for His glory? As a people, as a church, doesn't matter whether you call me as your pastor or not, this prayer is here. Enlarge our borders. May your hand be upon us. May you keep us from evil so it doesn't grieve us. If that's our prayer, then there is nothing the Lord cannot do through and with us. Nothing. Because with God, nothing is impossible. All things are possible. I have seen God work in ways you would not believe in my family. I've seen Him work in my dad's life. My dad, when it came to prayer and asking God to bless and to protect, my dad did pro bono work for a while. He worked a couple weeks outfitting a barn up in Canada, putting electrical and stuff and all that, helping a friend. Went to the hotel. He was in there by himself, closed the door, the windows are closed, and he just had a simple prayer. He said, Lord, I'm not trying to be selfish. I'm not trying to be petty or anything, but You've blessed me with a family. Had I been working full-time or working and getting paid, I would have had at least $500. You know, back then, that was a bit, you know. He goes, but I'm going to leave it with You. I want to thank You for the opportunity, the skills You've given me. So, Lord, I'm just asking for Your blessing indeed. He left that prayer just as Jabez did. Went about his day, finished the work, came home, doing odd jobs and working, things like that. We got home from church one day, and there was a grocery bag on the front door with some coffee in it. Not the coffee my dad liked. My dad is a coffee drinker. But he thought, you know what? I don't have any coffee because I can't afford it, so I will put up with this coffee because it's coffee. And so he grabbed this brand new bag of coffee, opened it up. And he's like, what's that? And he pulls out this envelope from a thing of coffee that had been sealed. And he opened it up. It was five $100 bills inside this coffee. God wants to work in our lives. God wants us to have a prayer like Jabez, a faith like Ruth. He wants us to have the knowledge of His will and live in the supremacy of our Savior. When I was praying about what the Lord wanted me to preach today, of course I was struggling about tonight, but it all fits together, doesn't it? That's right. That's the God that I serve. I go before Him and say, what will I preach? And He has shown us today, seek His knowledge. Constantly learn about Him. Live in the supremacy of Christ with a faith that is committed and everlasting. And in that faith that's committed and everlasting, know that you can go before an almighty God, and in humility and purity and in righteousness of the Lord say, bless me indeed. Enlarge our coast. Keep Your hand upon us and keep us from ourselves. Amen, Lord. Let's have some fun together serving in the ministry of the Lord and the kingdom of God. Lord, I thank You for today. I thank You for how You have weaved these. Only You could have weaved these messages together in such a way to show Your hand. I pray, Lord, that as we leave here tonight, You guide and direct us. You watch over us. May we serve You with a passion unlike anything else. May we be more passionate for you than we are about our sports teams. And I know sometimes that's asking a lot. But Lord, I pray that we come before you with a prayer like Jabez, knowing that you are a God that wants to answer such prayers and do great and mighty things which we know not, but you will show us in time. I pray, Lord, for Calvary Baptist that over the next few days as they seek your will, seek your face, and whether I'm to be the pastor of this wonderful church, Lord, I pray you guide and direct them. I want nothing but your will, and that's the same for Meredith. We want nothing but your will and your will alone. I would be honored and privileged if it's your will, but it has to be your will. So I pray you guide and direct each heart here, each voting member, that you will lead them according to your will, not according to desires or preference or things, but according to your will alone. And Lord, most of all, keep us from ourselves as we depart here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.